House, please come to order. Would the members please indicate their presence by voting? Clerk, please tally the board.
27 members present.
We do have a quorum present to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, as is indicated on the board, may the record reflect that Representative Ryan has previously been excused from call to House.
Leading the invocation today is Pastor Larry Roram, Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church. Will the members please rise for the invocation?
Let us pray. Dear Lord, be with our state and its leaders so that we may never take ourselves so seriously that we cannot be open to learning from one another. May learning not be top-down, but horizontal with respect for every person and every issue. May shared voices result in decisions that honor all the people of our state. We thank you for the gift of laughter and humor that is shared in this room. May good humor be a gift that sensitizes, conciliates, and brings dialogue into the flow of decision-making. As this House steps forward into the challenges of this session, may the pressure points of differing priorities, the exposure to diverse opinions, and the time expectations of all that will transpire not take away the need and desire to be in good relationship. Good relationships benefit us all and promote caring leaders. May this session be a blessing to all. May dialogue, respect, humor, and good relationships between individuals, branches of government, and the people of our state be cultivated and celebrated through the dedicated efforts of all who are gathered in this room. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Ron. Representative Green, would you please lead us in the pledge?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hudson?
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that prayer be spread across the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread across the journal. Would the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the ninth legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader?
I ask unanimous consent that the House journal is approved by the Chief Clerk be approved.
Without objection, the journal stands approved. We have guests today for introduction. Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It gives me great pleasure today to introduce a friend of mine. He's up here for business this afternoon. We are having a hearing on Fort Greely, and this individual is, in fact, the garrison commander of U.S. Army Alaska, which in civilian talk means that he controls or runs the, or is responsible for the three Army posts that exist in the state. And I can tell you from past experience, Madam Speaker, that is truly a thankless job, as everyone has a gripe or a complaint about how the Capitol here operates. Likewise, there are numerous complaints about how each post operates, and he is the recipient of all those complaints. So he does a yeoman's job. He is responsible in being, and actively involved in the conversion process, or proposed conversion and reuse process at Fort Greely. And I'm very, very pleased. He's also, by the way, Madam Speaker, on the advisory board of the Armed Services YMCA with me. Very, very important position and does a great job there. I'm very pleased to have him here, and please join me in welcoming Colonel Rich Stoddard.
Further guests for introduction, Representative Eldon.
Please, Madam Speaker.
House stand at ease. Representative Elton.
Madam Speaker, in the gallery behind me, I have the privilege of introducing Angela Roram, who is the daughter of Larry Roram and Laura Roram, who was introduced yesterday. If the body would help me welcome them, please.
Representative Osterman.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In the gallery behind me, I'd like to introduce a new staff member of mine. Her name is Joni Waller, and she's sitting with Cliff Stone, who's my chief of staff, most of you know, been around for a long time. And Joni's with me again this year. She used to be in Kodiak, now living in Gustavus and Juneau. Joni Waller.
Further guests for introduction? This brings us down the calendar to messages. We have messages from the governor.
Madam Speaker.
Messages from the other body?
A message dated January 20th stating the Senate accepts the House invitation to meet in joint session on Wednesday, February the 25th at 11 a.m. for the purpose of the State of the Judiciary. I have no further messages from the other body.
Communications?
I have no communications.
Reports of standing committees?
There are no standing committee reports.
Reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Citations and resolutions for introduction?
Citation honoring C-Shift Fairbanks Fire Department Firefighters of the Year by Representative Bryce, in memoriam David P. Hutchins by Representative Bryce, in memoriam Andrew Charles Kirk by Senators Phillips, Halford, Representatives Dyson, Coring, and Cott. House Joint Resolution Number 50 by Representative James proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to a public corporation established to manage the permanent fund.
Will we refer to State Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance?
I have no further citations or resolutions for introduction, Madam Speaker.
Bills today for introduction?
House Bill 338 by Representative Veazey, entitled An Act Relating to the Repeal of Provisions of the Administrative Procedure Act Prohibiting the Adoption of Regulations by an Agency of the Executive Branch of State Government, annulling all regulations adopted by an agency of the Executive Branch, and relating to additional legislation to carry out the purposes of this act and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 339 by Representatives Hodgins, Calgary, Dyson, Green, James, Cott, Ogun, Ryan, Sanders, Veazey, and Osterman, entitled An Act Relating to the Child Support Enforcement Agency and Providing for an Effective Date.
Yes, Committee and Finance.
House Bill 340 by Representative Hodgins, entitled An Act Relating to Child Abuse and Neglect, Child in Need of Aid Proceedings, and Review of Cases Involving Certain Children Who Are in the Custody of the State, amending Rules 3, 7, 10, 15, 17, and 19, Alaska Child in Need of Aid Rules, and providing for an effective date.
Hess Committee and Judiciary.
I have no further bills for introduction, Madam Speaker.
This brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the items on today's calendar?
We have citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I would ask unanimous consent. Citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, those citations are approved. Brings us to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the following representatives be excused from a call to House during the following times. Representative Cubina from 123.98, 1:40 p.m. Plain Time to 9:26 p.m. Plain Time, 1:26.98. Representative Grusendorf from 10:25 a.m. Plain Time, February 26th until 1:05 p.m. Plain Time, February 9th. Representative Nikolai from 6:60 something after 6 o'clock p.m. Plain Time Friday, January 23rd until 9:30 p.m. Plain Time Sunday, January 25th, and again from 6:39 p.m. Plain Time Wednesday, January 28th until 9:30 p.m. Plain Time Sunday, February 1st. Representative Masick from 1:40 p.m. Plain Time Friday, January 23rd until 9:30 a.m. Plain Time January 26th. Representative Terrio from 1:40 p.m. Plain Time January 22nd until 9:39 a.m. January 26th. And again from 1:40 a.m. Plain Time Friday, January 30th until 9:39 a.m. Plain Time Monday, February 2nd. And finally, Madam Speaker, my previously excused departure from 1:40 p.m. Plain Time Friday, February 13th is amended to 1:40 p.m. Plain Time Thursday, February 12th.
Without objection, those members will be approved for absences. Further unfinished business? Committee announcements? Representative Roekberg?
Meeting at 3:15 this afternoon. Hopefully we'll have everybody there. Thank you.
Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. As I previously stated, we will be having a hearing this afternoon at 1:30, Senate Finance. Note the location. We will be hearing from the Delta Greeley Reuse Authority, as well as U.S. Army Alaska, and also hearing from the Department of Corrections about the proposed reuse of Fort Greeley at that time. Welcome all members to attend. It is a joint Senate and House Subcommittee on Corrections hearing.
Further committee hearings? Announcements? General announcements? Representative James?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just want to remind everyone of the NILACARE hearing and State Affairs in the morning at 8 o'clock. If anyone has any concerns or constituent concerns, be sure that they are brought to the table. We'll probably continue that meeting. We're going to hear from the administration and also from the administration of NILACARE And we'll probably continue that hearing for a couple of weeks while they respond to all the things that we hear so that we can have a conclusion on it. So I encourage everyone who has an interest in this to participate some way.
General announcements, Representative Green.
I would like to call attention to the body that we will have a judiciary hearing today, and it will deal with the prisoners' rights being limited to those of the federal government and the House Joint Resolution dealing with reapportionment for district sizes.
Representative Davies? House stand at ease. General announcements. This brings us down to special orders. Representative Croft.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Permission to speak on the suit doesn't fit.
Without objection, you have the floor.
I was back home this weekend visiting my wife, and we took the opportunity to get some new suits. This one, in fact, is new and is in a size larger than I had remembered
myself.
It looks
very nice, Representative Croft.
Thank you. And I had to let out my other suits for some reason. It's something about the moisture down here, the receptions or the lounge. But I also had enough free time then, though I could have been doing better things, to read the lawsuit that the Legislative Council has filed. And I'd read in the media, understood from discussions with other members of this body, that it was a precedent-setting compact clause and equal footing case, that it was asserting those constitutional principles or rights to the federal government. And so after a couple of readings, I kept looking for those principles to be enunciated or even raised in the suit. And I couldn't find them. Would read again and couldn't find them. Got more knowledgeable minds than myself on this, and they couldn't find it. And it disturbed me. This wouldn't be the first time the media has misinterpreted what we've done here or what our committees have done. But it concerned me enough to ask some of the sponsors, is this a compact clause case, as it was purported? Is this an equal footings case? Or is it something else? I was given to understand that, well, no, it probably isn't now, but it may be amended later. That disturbs me as a former attorney, as a recovering attorney. It's not that easy to just add new principles that you forgot the first time around. It's a limited discretionary thing. You're generally supposed to bring everything you've got in the initial filing. In particular, it led me to examine some of these principles that we've heard so much about and what they would look like if they had been in this lawsuit. A compact clause case is basically, compact is just a form of contract. And so this, if it had a compact clause argument, which it does not, would say something to the effect of, there was an agreement. It was accepted. There was then a breach and damage. Now, these are special kinds of agreements, agreements either between the states or between the federal government and the states. And because of that, there are special rules. You can't waive certain constitutional rights. The federal government keeps its powers, even if it purports to waive them. The state keeps certain of its. And the equal footing doctrine is a sort of aspect of that. If you do a compact clause, there every state enters the union on an equal footing, and it particularly regards rights to some submerged lands. But the most upsetting to me, it doesn't need to be a primer on those issues, is we had been led to believe that that's what we had done, that's what we had done the morning before we gaveled in. And as far as I can tell, it's not. I'd like to ask the sponsors of this suit or any member of this body to show me where that is raised, where the compact clause is raised, agreement, acceptance, breach and damage, as it should be, or where equal footing in the analysis section, which runs from 26 to 31 on the complaint, is ever raised. There is some discussion in the history of it, but you have to raise it in the complaint. And if it's not there, what are we doing with this case? And if it's not there, when are we going to have a discussion of should it be and should the legislature take this position? Should they take the compact clause and equal footing position? Should we take the ones we have here? Because I tell you, my analysis over this weekend of the things that are actually raised here, the idea that the federal government can't manage its own lands, which has been rejected for 100 years of jurisprudence in this state. It's a common principle of law that a government has a right to control its lands, just as the state of Alaska does. The second claim that there is an federal equal protection problem with a rural preference, there's not, Madam Speaker. Judge Holland ruled in the federal McDowell decision that there wasn't. And the third aspects of the claim basically asks us to relitigate Katie John, which went up and was to the Supreme Court, and the writ of certiorari was reversed. So in each of the three areas that are raised, there's clear precedents, usually Supreme Court precedents, rejecting them. So if we're embarking on a new area, why isn't it here? And if we're doing the old path, we should recognize that it's been rejected. So I'm looking forward to some education on whether it's here, and if it's not, why not?
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, he is a fine young attorney, no doubt. Certainly, he does have on a handsome suit today. I almost match him, say the least. We're both dressed in blue. And I'm sure he reads very well. But if he'd take a copy of his complaint that we filed and look on page 14, starting down in section 15, statement of facts, and if you look through paragraph 15 through 18, the complaint clearly lays out both the provisions of the Statehood Compact and the Equal Footing Doctrine as they relate to this complaint particularly. Those paragraphs, while they don't constitute separate claims for relief, are fully incorporated by reference in each claim for relief. The reason behind the particular structure, as I stated earlier in a debate on this floor, are a matter of litigation strategy, the details of which I neither wish to share if I knew them completely, or would while we have pending litigation, because that would be just terribly inappropriate. So it is clearly laid out, the questions that he raises in those particular paragraphs, and I also stated earlier on this floor that there will be an amended brief which will go further into our strategy, that which I will not discuss on this floor either. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Are there special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment till 10:45 a.m. Thursday, January 22nd, when we will reconvene in joint session to hear from Senator Murkowski and probably by that time know what it is he intends to do with the rest of his life.
We are adjourned until 10:45 tomorrow for our joint session.